Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to be exploring some thought-provoking ideas from Tom Woods. Now, if you're someone who believes the American establishment always has our best interests at heart, you might want to sit this one out. Woods is known for challenging conventional narratives, and his work is all about encouraging skepticism, especially towards those in power.
Yeah. Tom Woods received the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award back in 2019. He's a New York Times best-selling author and a prominent voice in libertarian circles. He's written extensively on history, economics, and politics. And he's known for his sharp wit and his willingness to challenge the status quo.
Exactly. And that's precisely what we're diving into today. We're going to be taking a look at some excerpts from his free ebooks, which you can find on his website, tomsfreebooks.com. These ebooks cover a range of topics, but they all share a common theme, encouraging people to think and act locally.
That's a really interesting concept. What does think and act locally mean in the context of Woods' work?
Well, it's about recognizing that centralized power, whether it's the federal government or large corporations, often fails to serve the best interests of individuals and communities. Woods argues that we need to shift our focus to local solutions, empowering individuals and communities to take control of their own lives.
Okay, that sounds like a radical departure from the way things are currently done. But how does that play out in practice? What are some concrete examples of what thinking and acting locally looks like?
Woods provides a lot of examples in his ebooks. But let's start with one that's particularly relevant today. The response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Remember all those debates about lockdowns, mask mandates, and the effectiveness of various policies?
Oh, absolutely. It seemed like everyone had a different opinion on what the right approach was.
Exactly. And that's where Woods comes in. He argues that the pandemic exposed the flaws of centralized decision-making and highlighted the importance of local autonomy. He presents a lot of data and analysis that challenges the mainstream narrative around COVID-19, particularly the effectiveness of lockdowns.
That's a pretty controversial topic. A lot of people believe that lockdowns were necessary to save lives. What does Woods say about that?
Well, he doesn't deny that COVID-19 was a serious threat, but he questions whether lockdowns were the most effective or ethical way to address it. He points out that many countries that implemented strict lockdowns still experienced significant waves of infection, while others that took a more measured approach fared just as well, if not better.
So he's suggesting that there wasn't a clear correlation between the severity of lockdowns and positive outcomes.
Exactly. He highlights the concept of policy invariance, which basically means that different approaches led to similar results. This suggests that maybe lockdowns weren't the only factor at play in controlling the virus, and that other factors like demographics, healthcare infrastructure, and even luck might have played a bigger role.
That's a really interesting perspective. It challenges the idea that there was one right way to handle the pandemic.
Right. And he goes even further, arguing that the media often cherry-picked data to support the lockdown narrative, ignoring evidence that contradicted it.
Can you give us an example of this? How did the media allegedly distort the data?
Well, he points to the way certain countries, like the Czech Republic, Austria, Slovakia, and Slovenia, were initially praised for their strict lockdown measures when they seemed to be controlling the virus early on.
Yes, I remember those headlines. It seemed like those countries had cracked the code.
But then, Woods shows us the data, revealing that all of these countries experienced significant resurgences later on, despite their strict measures.
So the initial success was short-lived, and the lockdowns didn't prevent future outbreaks.
Right, and this raises serious questions about the long-term efficacy of lockdowns. If they didn't prevent those resurgences, what was their purpose?
It seems like Woods is suggesting that we need to look beyond the simple narratives and dig deeper into the data.
Exactly. And he also wants us to consider the unintended consequences of these policies. It's not just about case numbers. It's about the broader impact on society.
Right. That's an important point. It's easy to get fixated on one metric, like cases or deaths, without considering the wider ramifications.
Exactly. And Woods dives deep into those ramifications, presenting some alarming statistics from sources like the UN, the Well-Being Trust, UNICEF, and The Lancet.
So what kind of unintended consequences is he talking about?
He talks about the devastating economic impact of lockdowns, the increased rates of mental health issues, the disruptions to education, and even the excess deaths caused by delayed health care for other conditions. He argues that the focus on COVID-19 led to a neglect of other pressing health issues, resulting in a significant loss of life.
Yeah, it sounds like he's painting a pretty grim picture of the unintended consequences of lockdowns. Are there any specific examples that stand out?
Absolutely. He cites a UN report warning of hundreds of thousands of additional child deaths in 2020. due to economic hardship caused by lockdowns. And that's not even considering the long-term impacts on education and development.
Wow, that's a staggering statistic. It really makes you question whether the cure was worse than the disease in some cases.
Yeah. He also highlights the issue of deaths of despair, citing a study from the Well-Being Trust that estimates 75,000 such deaths in the U.S. alone. Due to the pandemic and the lockdowns, these are deaths from drug overdoses, suicides, and alcohol-related issues, often driven by the isolation, economic hardship, and despair that the lockdowns exacerbated.
It's a tragic reminder of the hidden costs of these policies, the ripple effects that go beyond the immediate health crisis.
Exactly. And it wasn't just a domestic issue either. Woods points to a UNICEF warning of 1.2 million child deaths globally due to disruptions in healthcare access caused by lockdowns. Essential services were disrupted, routine vaccinations were delayed, and many people simply couldn't access the care they needed due to travel restrictions and overwhelmed healthcare systems.
It seems like these lockdowns, while intended to protect people from the virus, ended up causing a lot of harm in other ways.
That's precisely Wood's point. He argues that a more targeted approach, one that focused on protecting the most vulnerable, while allowing the rest of society to function, would have been more effective and less damaging. He believes that shutting down entire societies was an overreaction, a blunt instrument that caused more harm than good.
So if lockdowns weren't the answer, what does Woods propose as an alternative?
He advocates for a more decentralized, community-based approach to public health. He believes that individuals, families, and local communities are better equipped to assess risks and make decisions that are in their best interest. He points to the success of some countries that took a more localized approach, tailoring their responses to specific communities and demographics.
Okay, that makes sense. A one-size-fits-all approach rarely works, especially when dealing with something as complex as a pandemic.
Exactly. And this ties back to his broader philosophy of thinking and acting locally. He believes that we need to move away from centralized control and empower individuals and communities to take more responsibility for their own well-being.
It's a compelling argument. But what about the role of government? Surely there's a need for some level of coordination and oversight, especially during a crisis.
Woods acknowledges that government has a role to play, but he believes it should be limited to providing information, resources, and support, rather than dictating behavior. He's critical of what he sees as an overreach of government power during the pandemic, particularly the use of mandates and restrictions that he believes infringed on individual liberties.
That's a perspective that resonates with a lot of people. There's definitely been a growing concern about the erosion of individual freedoms in the name of public health.
And this concern is at the heart of Wood's work. He's not just presenting data and analysis. He's challenging us to think critically about the role of government, the balance between individual liberty and collective safety, and the importance of local autonomy.
Yeah, it sounds like he's encouraging us to question the narratives that we're often presented with and to consider alternative perspectives.
Exactly. He's not afraid to go against the grain and challenge conventional wisdom, even when it's uncomfortable. He wants us to engage in a more nuanced and informed discussion about public health policies, one that recognizes the complexities and trade-offs involved.
And that brings us back to the data. Let's talk about some of the specific claims that were made, about the effectiveness of certain measures like mask mandates.
That's a great segue. Woods dives deep into the mask debate, presenting data that challenges the widely accepted narrative about their efficacy.
What kind of data is he talking about?
Well, he starts by showing us charts that track the trend of rising COVID-19 cases. Despite widespread mask usage in the U.S., this seems to contradict the claim that masks alone could have controlled the pandemic. He also highlights the arbitrariness of mask mandate implementation dates across various European countries, showing that case trends didn't consistently improve after mandates were put in place.
So he's suggesting that the data doesn't necessarily support the claims that were made about the effectiveness of masks.
Right. He's not saying that masks are useless, but he's arguing that the evidence for their widespread efficacy is much weaker than we've been led to believe. He also criticizes the way the media and public health officials often presented information about masks, highlighting studies that supported their effectiveness, while ignoring or downplaying those that didn't.
So it sounds like he's accusing them of cherry-picking the data to fit a particular narrative.
Exactly. He points to a specific example involving a CDC study that was initially touted as evidence of mask effectiveness in Delaware. However, he reveals that the CDC conveniently stopped reporting data from that study when cases began to surge despite high mask compliance in the state.
That seems like a pretty significant omission. If the data stops supporting the narrative, they simply stop sharing it.
That's what Woods is suggesting. and he sees this as a pattern, a tendency to present a one-sided view of the evidence, rather than a balanced and objective assessment. He wants us to be aware of this bias and to question the information that we're being given, even when it comes from sources that we generally trust.
That's a crucial point. We need to be critical consumers of information, especially when it comes to something as important as public health.
Absolutely. And it's not just about masks. Woods applies this critical lens to other mitigation measures as well, like social distancing and lockdowns. He shows how the data often fails to correlate with the positive outcomes that were claimed.
Can you give us an example of that?
Sure. He looks at mobility data in Massachusetts and Los Angeles, finding no clear relationship between reduced mobility and improved health outcomes. Even when people stayed home more, it didn't necessarily translate to fewer cases.
So the lockdowns and stay-at-home orders might not have been as effective as we were told.
That's what the data seems to suggest, according to Woods. He also debunks the claim that a fall surge in cases was caused by people becoming loose with their mitigation measures, by showing that retail and recreation data actually showed a decline during that period. People were staying home more, yet cases were still rising.
It's fascinating how the data can challenge our assumptions. We often hear these simple narratives about cause and effect, but the reality is much more complex.
And that's what makes Woods' work so valuable. He's not afraid to delve into the complexities, to question the simple narratives, and to present alternative explanations. He's not trying to tell us what to think, but rather how to think.
That's a powerful approach. It's about empowering people to think critically for themselves, rather than blindly accepting the information they're given.
Exactly. He wants us to be skeptical, to question authority, and to demand evidence to support the claims that are being made. He believes that this is essential for a healthy society, one that is capable of making informed decisions and holding its leaders accountable.
It sounds like he's calling for a more rigorous and honest examination of the evidence, one that's not driven by ideology or political agendas.
Precisely. He wants us to look beyond the headlines and the sound bites, to dig into the data, and to consider alternative perspectives. He believes that this is the only way we can learn from our mistakes and make better decisions in the future.
It seems like Woods is really advocating for a shift in mindset, urging us to move away from blind faith in authority and towards a more critical and questioning approach.
Yeah, and that ties in perfectly with his emphasis on thinking and acting locally. He argues that local communities are often better equipped to understand their own unique needs and circumstances than distant bureaucrats or national policymakers.
Yeah, it's about bringing decision-making closer to the people who are most affected by those decisions, recognizing that there's no one-size-fits-all solution to complex problems, and that local knowledge and experience are invaluable assets.
Absolutely. And he gives some compelling examples of how this can work in practice. For instance, he talks about how local farmers markets can provide fresh, healthy food while supporting local businesses and reducing reliance on global supply chains. He also discusses the benefits of community-based healthcare models that prioritize personalized care and preventative measures.
It's about building more resilient and self-sufficient communities, ones that are less dependent on centralized systems and more empowered to take care of their own needs.
Right. And this resonates with a lot of people who are feeling increasingly disillusioned with the status quo, with the way things are currently done. They're looking for alternatives, for ways to take back control of their lives and build a better future for themselves and their communities.
Yeah. And Woods offers a roadmap for doing just that. He doesn't provide all the answers, but he gives us the tools to start asking the right questions, to challenge assumptions, and to explore new possibilities.
He encourages us to think outside the box, to consider solutions that might not be immediately obvious, and to be willing to experiment and learn from our mistakes.
It's a call to action, an invitation to become more engaged and involved in shaping the world we want to live in.
And it all starts with that simple but powerful idea: think and act locally.
It's about recognizing the power of individuals and communities to make a difference, to create positive change from the ground up.
So if you're feeling overwhelmed by the complexity of the world, by the seemingly insurmountable challenges we face, Woods' message offers a glimmer of hope.
It reminds us that we're not powerless, that we have agency, and that we can start building a better future right here, right now, in our own communities.
If you're intrigued by these ideas and want to delve deeper into Tom Woods' work, you can find his free ebooks, including the one we've been discussing today, on his website, tomsfreebooks.com.
Be prepared to have your assumptions challenged, your perspectives broadened, and your mind stimulated.
And most importantly, be prepared to take action. Because as Woods reminds us, the future is not something that just happens to us. It's something we create.
So go out there, think locally, act locally, and start building the world you want to see.